Hello and welcome to another episode of Fountain City Sports Media, a podcast made by Kansas City fans for Kansas City fans. My name's Armando, a.k.a. Hot Take Mondo, and I'm joined by my friend Reese, a.k.a. the Reese incarnate Brock Lesnar. And today we are recording the day after round one of the NFL draft. And Reese, we have our wide receiver of the future, or we have at least one of the wide receivers of the future. So this is an emergency pod. Reese and I are together, ready to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs trading up to get Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy. This will probably be a shorter podcast, but we got a lot to break down today. But before we talk about the breaking news, Xavier Worthy going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Reese, how's it going? What's up today, man?
You know, I'm like waiting to die because I guess we have tornadoes and hail scheduled. So, you know, I'm just bunkering down here with Bowie trying to survive. But right now it looks nice, very windy, but it's sunny. So I guess we'll see what happens. I'll stay in my basement and watch round two of the draft. Yeah.
So you're saying the Xavier Worthy pick was so climactic that it changed the weather patterns in Kansas City to disturb and make a tornado.
Yeah, dude, that's why the Bills are so, like, agreeable to trading up. Because, like, yeah, we have weather control and we're going to, like, destroy Kansas City anyway.
Big plans. Hey, yep. Xavier Worthy, don't travel to Kansas City yet. Stay in Texas for a day.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so.
Well, that's scary. Is it like, are we talking like a scary tornado? Or is, because there's a difference between tornado watch and tornado warning. Are you guys at a tornado warning?
We're not a tornado warning. We're just, I guess, supposed to get a bunch of tornadoes and hail and stuff. Like, I'm looking at my weather app right now. I have a flood watch going on.
Wait, what is a bunch of tornadoes? You're saying you're going to get like five tornadoes through your house? Like, you can't just say, oh, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of tornadoes tonight.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to Google Kansas City weather and see what I get here. Kansas City weather alert. Okay. This is from KMBC TV9. We have a flood watch right now, which is something. Other than that, I don't see where all this hail and tornado talk's coming from, but both the rad Russian Alex Nikolenko and my wife have told me to watch out for that. So here we are.
Now I'm curious, specifically in your area, or we're talking Kansas City in general? Because sometimes when we get like tornado warnings, it tends to be like north of us. But again, I don't know if your area... do they have tornadoes specifically, like, different than downtown Kansas City?
No, I get what you're saying. Downtown almost never gets it because they're surrounded by the river.
Hold on. So many hills.
Let's see. What's this? What is everybody talking about? Hold on. I'm looking at, like, the hour-by-hour forecast.
Reese looks up from his phone and looks out into the window, he sees an F5 tornado and goes, oh.
Okay, last search. KC Weather Radar. Let's see. This is from AccuWeather, okay? AccuWeather is usually pretty accurate. Okay, so this goes until 4:45. Yeah, like nothing. And then thunderstorm, thunderstorm, thunderstorm. I don't want to open this. Go away, ads. Hold on, it's a 6 o'clock hour. Yeah, this is shenanigans. I'll post some footage if we get some storms, but let's not worry about that.
Okay, great. Yeah, so follow on social media for all of Reese's tornado watch twister-esque like videos that he will be posting. How will they find those tornado videos, though, Reese? And if they enjoy those tornado videos or maybe our content on Xavier Worthy and the Kansas City Chiefs, how can they donate to our podcast?
Dude, you can donate to the Reese Relief Fund at patreon.com/FCSM. We get access to bonus content.
We also have to, like, knock on wood hard for all this.
Oh, 110%. Yeah, go to patreon.com/FCSM to get access to premium content, including outtakes, bonus episodes, exclusive beer reviews, exclusive mini-series, Speedy and Angry, Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary. The Rad Russian and I are considering doing a review of the new Fallout show on TV. Have you seen that?
Ooh, no. Do you like it?
I have not seen it, but Alex said it's really good and it's worth doing a bonus content review.
I was going to say Alex and Elon Musk approve of Fallout. So.
Oh, geez. Elon. Well, that's because Elon Musk's kid's name is like...
Oh,
Oh, that's funny, man. No, I don't want to tangent, but I've been watching Ripley on Netflix. That's really good.
Wait, what's Ripley?
I've never seen Talented Mr. Ripley, but Logan says it is very similar to the movie Talented Mr. Ripley with, I think, Matt Damon. He's a... Okay. Ripley is a con man. Mm. But it's a mix between, like, really good story, but also an art film where it's just, like, it's set in Italy and it's so beautiful.
Oh, very
cool.
It is
so beautiful to watch, but at the same time, it's this, like, con man mystery... Yeah. It has a little bit of Breaking Bad in it too, honestly, like the way that it's structured.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
I forget the guy's name, the lead, but everybody knows who he is if you see him.
Andrew Scott.
I think he was on Doctor Who. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Anyway,
I recommend it. It's really, and if you just like artsy, not that like the content is artsy, but just it just looks really beautiful and it's nice to watch.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that. I've actually never seen Talented Mr. Ripley, so maybe I'll have to get into that.
It was like a 90s movie. But yeah, I definitely like to disassociate and pretend I'm just there in Italy and having a nice Chianti with, you know, smoking a cigarette.
Dude, that could have gone a totally different way. They're going to say with fava beans and a side of liver or whatever it is. Yeah, but
not that type of show, but similar. Who knows? Anyway, Fallout. Reese is going to do a review on it. Pay him lots of money for it.
Yeah, Fallout. Speaking of Fallout, why don't we talk about the Fallout from last night's NFL draft?
That's right. Okay, so Kansas City fans, we are only going to talk about the Xavier Worthy trade. Next week, we'll talk about the other picks that we'll get and also just the draft in general because we have the Falcons going completely rogue and getting Michael Penix Jr. at 8,
gosh.
Which no one saw coming. I mean, who's the owner? Arthur Smith. If you watch the video of Arthur Smith talking to his new GM, and it looks like he's trying to say, like, what the hell? Why did you just go that way? So we can talk about that for hours, but let's wait till have Sam Kiper Jr. on, and then we'll talk about the draft in general, because Sam also got his guy. If you guys, well, maybe not necessarily his guy, but got one of the guys.
He got the guy that we said was his guy.
Exactly. I mean, I knew it was going to happen. Hot take Mondo, Oracle Mondo. Mm-hmm. But something that I did not see happening, Reese, in a million years, was what happened last night. The Kansas City Chiefs trade up to pick 28. And this is what they give up, Reese. They give up picks 32. They give up a third rounder in pick 95. And they also give up a seventh rounder, pick 221, to move up with... the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills
give up their 28th pick. They also give up a fourth rounder, 133, which, again, they only are moving. The Kansas City Chiefs, in retrospect, are moving down not too many picks. And then they also swap basically seventh round picks. So, Reese, we do all that to trade up for the fastest receiver in NFL history, Xavier Worthy. So, Reese, what was your... Let's go very slow here. What was your initial reaction when you see we trade up, and then you see we trade up with the Buffalo Bills?
So I think I made a comment where I said if the Chiefs don't trade up to pick 25, I said they're not going to trade up and they're not going to get their guy. And I knew that because the Bills were at 28, and I found it unlikely they'd jump them to get to 27. So I thought they'd have to jump up to 25, personally, because I thought the Bills would actually be a little more aggressive and move up a couple spots.
They obviously need a wide receiver.
Yeah, the Bills need a wide receiver. And so here's the thing. We took Xavier Worthy at pick 28 with the Cowboys on deck. Cowboys next up, the Ravens on deck, and the 49ers in the hole. Now, to me, two of those teams needed a wide receiver, the 49ers and the Ravens, because I think, like you said, they're down to basically Zay Flowers now on that team, and that's about it for pass catchers.
Right.
And then Dallas didn't need a wide receiver, but would Jerry Jones have been interested in bringing in the pride of, you know, Austin, Texas with Xavier Worthy and bringing him on the team? Yeah, I think they could have used Xavier Worthy. So I was surprised the Chiefs jumped up to draft Xavier Worthy, and specifically more so, let the Bills would just let him do it. Did they say, hey, Buffalo, can we trade picks? We promise it won't be Xavier Worthy. They're like, all right, we trust you. It's not going to be Xavier Worthy. JK is actually Xavier Worthy.
Right. Does Veach know where the like dead bodies are for Bill Beane? Like, why would the Bills ever trade with Kansas City again after getting Patrick Mahomes, after trading up to get Trent McDuffie? If the Kansas City Chiefs decide to trade up in the draft, you know already that it is going to be a good move. Like, we waited for Mecole Hardman, we waited for CH. We didn't move up for those guys, right? And those were a wash. But when we trade up in the first round, it is almost always a success. So if you know that, obviously the Bills know that, why would you agree to this? You only went up a couple spots in the fourth round, right, to the third round.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It makes zero sense, Reese.
Well, and all these Bills fans are like, haha, we grifted the Chiefs because Xavier Worthy would have been there at 32. And it's like, no, he wouldn't. And B, to the people saying, well, you don't draft players to keep them away from another team if you don't need them. It's like, okay, you don't have to do that, but you also don't have to let us move up four spots. And you can hope that the guy we want isn't there by the time we draft.
Yeah, also another point there is right after we pick Worthy, 49ers have to pick their guy in Ricky Pearsall, and then Carolina has to pick their guy in Xavier Legette. What are the chances that both of them tried to move up as well to get Xavier Worthy? Very likely, right? Was Ricky Pearsall always the 49ers guy? We don't know that.
No.
So I think it was smart, right? You and I were talking about Ricky Pearsall in round four. Yeah, I personally like Ricky Pearsall, but at pick 29 or whatever, he went 30. Totally inappropriate. Very wrong time to pick Ricky Pearsall. So yes, Xavier Worthy would not have been there at the very end. The only reason why we started to see that drop off is because we picked Xavier Worthy, then the other teams went, oh crap, we gotta get going. So very strange by the Buffalo Bills, Reese. So then that happens. And then, Reese, we go Xavier Worthy. Tell us, okay, now, I didn't talk about Xavier Worthy when we were talking because I didn't think that it would be a possibility for us to get him. I always liked him. And yes, you know, I was over-glamorized by his combine, but I never thought that he dropped. So I was like, okay, let's just talk about other guys like Adonai Mitchell, like Xavier Legette, like all these guys. But Reese, when you saw that he dropped to us, what is your initial reaction on Xavier Worthy? Do you think he's just another John Ross, another Mecole Hardman because of his speed, or is he more than that?
Let's answer this twofold. What do you want first, my comparisons for Xavier Worthy or how I felt when we drafted Xavier Worthy?
I feel like your comparisons are going to be more hot takey, so let's do what you thought of him first, and then let's hear your hot take comparison.
Okay, so what I thought of him first, you can go back and check the group chat to see what I thought of him first. It's one word, and it's probably not something you would say if you were thrilled. I was very much in the boat that I thought we had our eyes on Adonai Mitchell to get a bigger body in this wide receiver room. Yeah. I was. Here's my thing. I think Xavier Worthy's talented, and I don't think he's another, you know, John Ross, Mecole Hardman, Henry Ruggs, nothing but track speed kind of guy. My concern was more about the fact that our only pass catcher with size, and I emphasize pass catcher to include wide receivers and tight ends, our only pass catcher with size going into this season is going to be a tight end who's turning 35 at the beginning of the season. Other than that, our next biggest dude, if you want to count regular pass catchers, is Rashi Rice at 6'1", like 215, who might not even be there for half the season.
Right.
So it's not so much I dislike Worthy as a player, so much as I'm concerned that we're going to go play Miami Dolphins ball and do nothing but like grab small little speedsters.
So now you've said that, now tell me what your comp is.
Well, okay, so my comp is not pure track speed, guys. Like I pointed out, I think given his size, you know, he is slight of frame. He's what, listed at 5'11", buck 65 or something like
that? Yeah, 65, I think.
Let's be generous. I think they can throw 10 more pounds on him. I think in the play style that I'm seeing far more someone like a DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, that's someone, what Andy Reid actually compared him to DeSean.
Oh, did he?
Yep, in the press conference.
And see, Andy Reid loves DeSean Jackson type of guys. And I mean, I loved DeSean Jackson back when he played.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he's an example of a guy who is a very fast football player, not just a track speed guy. You know, Mecole Hardman was a reach because we panicked without Tyreek Hill being here. You know, John Ross was a reach just because we wanted to see if we could bring some speed into the room. But no, I think Xavier Worthy can play. I'm not super worried about injuries. It's just like I said, I'm a little more concerned about not having any size.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so let's address this whole thing. So the weakness that we see from Xavier Worthy is his size at 165. Brett Veach did say at the press conference that he's already talked with Xavier and they have a target goal of 180, actually.
Really?
And that he's already been in touch with the Chiefs' nutritionist and doctor and are putting him on a plan to get up to 180. So that's pretty cool. Like, we when Mecole Hardman got here, were we already talking about a nutritionist, you know, a condition coach to get him to bulk him up? No. So the fact that, like, Veach has done his homework. They didn't just sit on the couch and go, ooh, Xavier Worthy, we saw him in the combine, and he was the best combine person we've ever seen. Let's get him. Like, you know they've done their homework. You know they've talked to this guy. They've vetted him. They've probably already talked to their nutritionist, their condition coaches, and everyone. They have a plan in place already. It's not like, all right, get in the office, you know, September 1st, and we're going to figure this out together. Like, I think a plan's already in place, Reese, and I think they're pretty excited about adding some weight to him. So I'm not nervous about him, right? This isn't a Bryce Young situation. This isn't a Kyler Murray, you know, different positions. And this isn't a John Ross situation. So that's the size comparison. Now let's go to, you know, the speedster only comparison, where if you look at Xavier Worthy tape, Xavier Worthy is beyond his speed. And actually, I will say that Xavier Worthy doesn't look that fast on tape, actually. I actually don't think that is a featured attribute when you see him on the field. He had track speed in the combine, but I didn't necessarily see a Tyreek Hill when he was playing. I didn't see a John Ross. I didn't even see, I don't know, a Mecole Hardman speed. But what I did see was a tough player. Like what I saw is that, like, he goes beyond the speed, which is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that he is beyond his track combine speed. He's a great route runner, Reese. This dude is great at the catch. Not a great contested catch guy, which you talked about. You would have liked to have a guy like that. But again, that's not his skill set. And I don't think that's what we want from him or what this offense needs right now. I think what we're going to... So actually, let me not get ahead of myself. Let me go back. So he's a great route runner. He's aggressive. And he can also break a tackle, which is something that you wouldn't think from a guy from 165. But again, he's a feisty guy. And watching his tape with Texas and seeing him, you know, not bully guys, but being able to compete with some of these, you know, big 12 and also SEC cornerbacks that are very, very good. So I am very excited about Xavier Worthy, Reese. And going to my point, how does he fit with the Kansas City Chiefs? This is why I'm most excited, Reese, because he's a smart player and we need someone that is able to maybe not be a contested guy, but this offense is more predicated on when Patrick Mahomes rolls out or he does have time, can these receivers find space? And that is something that Xavier Worthy did at Texas. He was able to find space in the middle of the field, running a short route, and able to do whatever he needs to do to find that open space. And when you have a guy like Xavier Worthy trying to find space with Kelsey, with Hollywood Brown, with Rashee Rice, Reese, this is the best offense that Patrick Mahomes has ever had in his history with the Kansas City Chiefs and football history. Reese, do you know what I'm smelling?
What you smelling?
A three-peat.
Oh, man. Dude,
hot take Mondo. We reloaded. We are ready to take back the crown.
So,
or keep the crown, sorry.
I like what you're saying. I do think the addition of Hollywood Brown and now Xavier Worthy is going to help open this offense up, because part of the problem was last year we had nobody who was a threat beyond 10 yards at all. Like MVS
and
could
no
get
one that was able to find space. Like Tony was never able to find space. Sky couldn't even run his route.
Like, no. Yeah. Like Justin Watson, like he could get behind you, but he has brick hands, you know. MVS,
and it was once every 60 snaps.
Exactly. MVS could maybe get behind you, but MVS has like zero overall catching skills. Will trip over himself. I'm excited for the
playoff
team to
MVS.
Have players that can like extend and stretch the field, you know, maybe make some teams have to play some more too high on us to open up that softer middle and underside. I think... that is a hot take saying this is the best offense that Mahomes has played with since being a Chief. I think I'm still giving that title right now to his first year as a starter when he had Kareem Hunt, younger Travis Kelce, younger Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, like that crew. I think we're one piece away from being to that level potentially. I think we do need a younger... not necessarily a big body, but a younger someone who can like punish him in the X position or eat the slot, you know, all day long. Especially with Travis Kelce getting up there in age now. So I think we can really stretch the field. I like that. I just want to make sure we got guys underneath that can punish these teams for playing back and getting the field stretched.
Well, and I also wonder, with Xavier Worthy here, does that mean that we're going to see some more underneath from a Hollywood Brown or from a Rashee Rice, right? Where we had them, well, we had Rashee kind of playing all over the place, but we always envision now with Hollywood Brown here, he is the guy that's just going to, you know, dart off the field. But maybe Xavier Worthy is that guy now. Maybe he is that, not that I'm comparing the two, but a DeMarcus Robinson type or I don't know, some, or like you said, Justin Watson, that's able to do, you know, certain things in this offense. But I wonder, maybe Hollywood Brown plays more of a role, more of a physical role than we've seen with other teams. Just a thought.
Well, and you know, I also want to say welcome to Last Chance You to Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney.
Oh yeah, there. Yes,
I do think one of them, if they want it, can seize the opportunity as being our slot receiver this year, which. I know I've condemned Sky Moore multiple times by now. Okay, I'm going to do the whole thing where it's like, Sky, sit down right here. Your job is to like press this button. I want to believe he can still potentially excel as a slot receiver, like Randall Cobb type of thing. But just so long as we don't have to line him up on the outside, we're not sending him on deep routes, because that's what he's absolutely incapable of. He has bad hands, but it's like, how good of hands do you need to catch a 5-yard slant, you know, to catch like a 7-yard post route, that kind of thing. So Last Chance You, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, fight.
And Hardman now too. Actually, Hardman just tweeted last night. He said, might be over with now, LOL.
I mean, I assumed it was already over.
Yeah, I thought it was over. I don't know why you thought he had a chance. I also just read something really quickly as well. Nobody was talking about McCole played under 170 last year.
Did he really?
Yeah, I read it from, I forget, like Pete Sweeney or someone just posted that he was playing undersized, and nobody was saying, okay, well, he's getting bullied, he's doing this, he's doing that. I mean, he caught that, 60-yard pass in the Super Bowl, and no one was questioning size there.
Well, I'm going to be curious. What was McCole Hardman's size coming out of college, though? Because part of the reason why he was so undersized
Sorry, I conflated that. He played under 180 last year still.
So, yeah, and to my point, like, I'm not saying McCole Hardman was built like Tyreek Hill was, because he wasn't, but wasn't he also coming off of an offseason, like, he had that abdominal thing that kept him out in that second Super Bowl run, and he had to have, like, major surgery done. So my guess is he lost a lot of muscle and probably some, like, internal weight from all of that as well. So yeah. Although he's playing under that weight, that's not like his regular size, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what is his regular size? Let's see.
Maybe 185, 190 max.
Yeah. I'm trying to let's see. Yeah, almost 190 is his regular size.
Mm-hmm.
But looks like he was playing under 180 once they brought him back. I wonder if that was the issue with the Jets. Anyway, all to say that wasn't an issue for us last year or something that we were bringing up with McCole. It was other things. So, again, if Xavier Worthy can get to McCole Hardman shape, from last year. Will we be saying the same thing? Are we going to say he's tiny, he's not doing this and that? And one more thing I want to bring up actually about Wade and all our expectations for Xavier Worthy. Again, he's going to be our fourth option, maybe even fifth option if we put Isaiah Pacheco back there. So we don't need him to be what, you know, we don't need him to be DeSean Jackson tomorrow. We probably don't even need him to be that in the playoffs, right? We just need him to be Justin Watson. We just need him to be, who else did we win last year with the Super Bowl, you know? So I'm saying that the expectations, because we are so stacked right now, do not have to be high. He can take his time to build his weight this year. He doesn't have to, you know, bulk up and do, you know, the Jason Kelce diet tomorrow. He's able to mature into this position. He might not even have to be so intricate in the playbook in the Andy Reid offense. He can have just one role and come in here and there just to start. So I like that we got him, even though he's maybe not like a day one ready guy, like a Keon Coleman or maybe a Ricky. Well, Ricky Purcell's not a day one guy, but Keon Coleman is the type of guy that you want, right? He's that power forward. He's able to be instilled in this offense. But again, with Hollywood Brown, Kelce, Rice, Pacheco, they're already working out together, already have this bond. I don't think we need Xavier Worthy to be the guy or even the second or third guy day one to even like day 50.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how they divvy up the role between Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and who they assign to do what specifically. I don't necessarily want to go and be like, hey, we're going to start doing Golden State Warriors positionless basketball, because that necessarily hasn't worked out well for them in the NBA, and I don't think it would work out well for us. Because I feel like that's part of the problem that we had last year, was it did just feel like, because no one was good at their position, it was positionless basketball in the wide receiver room. So, I don't know. Do you think we'll move and try and steal one more wide receiver in this draft?
Only if it's Luke McCaffrey in the fifth round. No, honestly, I don't. I just don't think that there's room. Like I think if we drafted another guy, I think that Brett Veach still believes in one of the guys that are out of here, Hardman, Tony, or Sky. One of them has to fit into a wide receiver five role over a Luke McCaffrey, is what I think. So I would say no, but if a guy falls to Veach at five or six in the fifth or sixth round, then absolutely, I think that can totally happen. All right, Reese, so I think we've talked about in detail the Xavier Worthy trade. We've talked about what he might be in the offense, and then what we're looking for at the later on the draft. Today is round two. Super excited to see what Chiefs are going to do, whether they trade down or they trade up or they go with someone at 63. But stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, because again, this was just an emergency pod to talk about Xavier Worthy, the fastest player in NFL history, joining Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs to three-peat. So stay tuned. Next week we'll have Sam Kiper Jr. on. We will talk about every draft pick that the Kansas City Chiefs has and all the latest and greatest news. Reese, did I miss anything?
You know, I don't think a whole bunch. I think, what do you think we'll do in round two? We got one round two pick, and we got two picks today. No, wait, we got one pick today because we don't have a third anymore, right?
Just one, right? Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we have the third. So, okay, if I was a betting man, I would say that we go with offensive tackle. And I feel like if that guy from BYU is still there, we definitely pull the plug.
Kingsley?
Yeah, I think if Kingsley is there, because there's a lot of value for corner, there's still a lot of wide receivers, so it's likely that he drops to the end of the second round. If he does drop, Reese, then if I put money on it, I say we go offensive tackle. How about you?
You know, I can see being offensive tackle too. I think the question to me is going to be, are we going to once again be aggressive and try and move up a little bit to get the guy we want? Because we do have that third round pick for L'Jarius Sneed next year still just sitting in our back pocket if we wanted to like mash that up with something else. But I think it's at this point, I think it's likely they've gotten what they need, which is a good wide receiver. And I don't think they're going to get an offensive tackle at this point in the draft that's notably better than Wanya Morris, to be honest. And if I'm being frank, I think the combination of Donovan Smith and Wanya Morris was pretty good last year. Everyone's saying something, we need to protect Patrick's blind side. Dude, I remember Patrick having like 5-6 seconds in the pocket because no one could get open last year. It wasn't like the couple years before with the OBJ where he's getting hit every 2-3 seconds of running for his life. So it'll be interesting.
So if you had to bet, though, what do you think we do if we stay? Say we do stay at 63. What position?
Oh, man, that's really hard. Let me see here. So Kingsley Suamataya is still the 42nd best player on the board. We're about 30-odd picks away from drafting. I think I would say at the end of the night, I'll be very happy if we walk away with Kingsley. I think otherwise, I would keep an eye out for a wide receiver that you don't suspect us to get, be it you know, making a move for a Ladd McConkey or someone of that ilk. So I think it's going to be a big surprise.
What's that one guy you don't like? Baker? Javon Baker?
Javon Baker, man. Yeah, I'm not part of Baker's Dozen, which is the lamest film.
What if Javon Baker drops to 63? Is that good value?
Oh, my gosh. Javon Baker, if we waste our only second-round pick on Javon Baker, like I'm probably going to like drive to One Arrowhead Drive and stage a one-man protest in the middle of these tornadoes.
Which would be great content for the Instagram account. So, Reese, I actually hope it happens so we can get a lot more clicks. Because that would definitely be trending on Twitter if you did
that.
Hey,
my name is Reese, and I've converted my 2013 Honda CR-V into a Storm Chaser mobile. No, I'm looking at the radar right now. It's like the worst of it is playing The Floor is Lava with Upper Parkville area. And just like it's almost like bending around where we are. It's like we're kind of in the green, but we're nowhere near the yellow or the orange.
Well, that's exciting. That's good news, but also kind of scary if it's bending like away from, or like that you're in the bend zone.
We're in the bend zone, man.
You're in the bend zone, dude. Bend it like Parkville.
Let's do it.
All right, Reese. Well, I think that's it then. We are very excited for round two. Hopefully we got the guy that we want. But in the meantime, let's do a let's go Kansas City Chiefs for a really great pick. So here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Let's go Chiefs!
We'll see you next time.
We'd like to thank you for joining us today on Fountain City Sports Media. This podcast is brought to you by listener support, so consider becoming a friend of the podcast. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/FCSM to gain access to premium content, including outtakes, bonus episodes, and exclusive beer reviews. Check out our website at fountaincitysportsmedia.com for more info on the podcast, social media, and of course, the goings-on in the beer industry. Special thanks to bands Carswell and Hope and Like a Tiger for providing our intro and outro themes. And as always, I'm Reese, and alongside my good friend Armando, we thank you for tuning in to Fountain City Sports Media.